This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Jordan Ronan, who covers the Giants for us, says there is progress in the talks and that the deal will be done. In all likelihood, there will be a 4 at the beginning of the number. And I don't see Daniel Jones in that way. Off that 1 year, 20-15 touchdown, I don't see it, man. I don't see it. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm willing to be convinced I'm wrong, Don. But this guy for $40 million a year?
Well, you offered him $38 a year, reportedly.
Right.
So if you go 5 years, 190 to 5 years, 200, if you're willing to go to 38, you're not going to go to 40?
That's a perfect point. But can you really wrap your mind around Daniel Jones making $40 million a year?
The Michael K. Show.
If you don't take my 5 years, 200, you're going to be franchised.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Well, Anthony Greek, our producer on Yes, he's a savage.
Savage.
He said, of course Peter wouldn't take the free throw bet. He couldn't make a field goal. He made only 3 of 10 at the Giants facility. And then he showed the video of it, Don.
I made 3?
No.
Yeah. I didn't make any.
You made, you went 0 for 10. Bet was you would make 3.
I would make 3. First of all, Greek, I love you. Come back to me. Those are such wildly different tasks.
Gun to your head here.
No, but I can't. I'm not a kicker. I've never done the thing in my life. You guys have seen me on national TV. I buried a bucket.
From the logo. That's how I remember it.
I was Lillard or Jace. I mean, come on, Greek. Come back to me.
It is apples to oranges, but still. It was pretty savage. It was fun to see. I nailed my one, but unfortunately, it's only grainy footage of it.
So did it even happen? We don't know.
You were there. You saw it.
Sure. I don't remember well.
And the reason I had gloves on, people, is when I had Coxsackie.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, when that was, I believe...
That was pre-COVID, right?
That was winter... Was that winter 19, guys?
2019.
Yeah.
Right before the world changed.
For the record, not right before. It was a little earlier than that. Right. I recall this was the dark days of Rosenberg. I think I could do much better now in my current headspace.
Let's bet it.
I was not mentally ready at that time. Let's do it again. Run it back.
I'm with Don. Whatever you want to bet, you can't do it.
All right, I make 3. Right. You guys give me $10 million. I make none. You execute me on Yes.
No, $1,000.
Okay.
No, see, but we can't do the execution in just one day. It's got to be out a period of weeks to really heighten the ratings.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't want that one bump. You want a real ratings grabber.
Well, hold on. How do you kill someone over time in a way that gets ratings?
Well, we'll come up with it.
All right.
Again, it's the jigsaw angle. We just start carving parts off. All right. $1,000, I bet you couldn't hit 3 in 20 attempts.
Wow.
What was the distance again?
30.
Well, you know what? We'll bring it to 20 if you like.
Oh, would you?
Yeah. You can't do
Don?
It.
Don?
Well, then we're going to change the odds a little bit. Although not one of those kicks would have been good under any scenario, no matter how close you were. None of them. There was one that was
close.
Okay.
I mean, look, there's squib kicks. You, it was embarrassing.
Are they showing it again?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh my God, these are grounders.
No, it was a rough day.
Man, I don't know why you're blaming on your headspace. You have some nerve.
Man, listen, let me see the date on this. Hold on. I don't see the exact date on the YouTube.
And I don't mess around. Like, I don't know why you went soccer style. I got mine. I went straight on.
Well, Mark Mosley.
I was Mark Mosley. That's what. And I don't know why you didn't honor.
Well, he did change Redskin in the middle. Don, he changed in the middle.
He got desperate. Know what? I did. It was such a bad. It was a really rough day. My outfit was rough, too. I'm wearing green sweatpants and red shoes. Oh, my God. The first one's 10 yards to the right. The second one's short by 10 yards.
And the great people that were watching, like, they're giggling under their breath.
I got to tell you, you know what the hardest part was? And I don't know if, Don, I don't know if you felt this way. In regular shoes, that turf was so slick, I thought I was going to kill myself.
Oh, boy.
But so shout out to the Giants for making their facility available. That was nice of them.
Now, let's talk about the Jets. We've been talking about the Giants. So Jeremy Fowler of ESPN said that New Orleans is ready to sign Derek Carr. Fowler said, Saints, it's my understanding they want to get something done with Derek Carr. He said that on the official Jets podcast, like that they're ready to do that. Saints GM Mickey Loomis told reporters at the Combine they had a good visit with Carr and that he would be a long-term solution at quarterback for the team. The head coach, Dennis Allen, who knows Carr from Vegas, echoed Loomis's sentiment. I think he's highly competitive. He's highly intelligent. Got a great work ethic. He's an outstanding leader. Those are all the qualities I like about him, and those are qualities that we like in the quarterback position. We'll certainly let the process take place, but we like the player. Now, this comes on the heels of Robert Saleh publicly drooling about Carr as well. Publicly. Not Diana Rossini reporting that she heard that people said that somebody on the Jets told Carr, we can win a Super Bowl with you. So is the clock ticking now?
Yes.
But, see, I'm going to tell you why I don't think it is.
Oh.
I think that Carr and his representatives are smarter than the average bear. Because they're gambling that the Rodgers is going to go back to the Packers. Then you got a bidding war between the Saints and the Jets, and probably throw in Carolina as well, and that price is just going to go up. And even if Rodgers does go to the Jets, his price is still going to go up if it's Carolina against New Orleans. Signing now, you're going to get fewer dollars than you do if you sign until you wait after the resolution of Rodgers. Don't you agree?
Yes. It's just that how far along are the Saints? Like, did the Saints make an offer and Carr's like, well, I'm going to wait. I'm just going to wait and see what happens with Rodgers. Well,
but he could tell the Saints that because the Saints have no alternative at this point.
Right, exactly. So now Rodgers comes out and says, I'm retiring. Now, does he just go right to the Saints and say, okay, I'll take your offer? Like, that would be the scary thing for the Jets is that are you going to get a chance to negotiate? Where does he want to go? You don't know. It sounds like he wants to go to the Jets, but nobody's made a commitment. The Saints can make a commitment because they're not in the running for Rodgers. If he likes you do run the risk, Michael. What if he likes the offer from the Saints, but he's going to wait because he knows he has a little bit more leverage if Rodgers, you know, retires or whatever Rodgers' decision is going to be. I still think the clock is ticking.
Yeah, but here's the deal, Don. If he's just using the Jets, then they have no chance anyway. So waiting for Rodgers and missing out on him, they wouldn't have gotten Carr anyway. Mm. I think Carr's going to wait. Now, if he's, you know, kind of a toss-up between the Saints and the Jets, and Rodgers retires or stays with the Packers, you know what? Then it's on the Jets. They failed. You got to blow him out of the water and make sure he comes here. That's all. Money's not an option. Tannehill might not even be available. He might stay where he is. So that leaves you with Jimmy Garoppolo. So the Jets, in my opinion, they better get Derek Carr or Aaron Rodgers. They can't mess around. Otherwise, they're going to piece it together at quarterback, and then it's going to be a complete crapshoot whether or not they take that next step, I think.
Well, you know, you're never supposed to show your hand, right? Like when Rex messed up the negotiations with Revis talking about he's the best defensive player in the league. How much do you think that Johnson kind of ruined leverage by saying he wants to pay big money for a quarterback?
Probably any kind of comment like that ruins leverage, Don. So he probably ruined it just a bit. Everybody knows the money's there. I mean, Woody Johnson's loaded.
Because Carr can just sit there and go, no, you said you want to play big money, you know. And if Rodgers retires, my God, the leverage is going to be incredible, right?
Like he could take a hold and tell the Jets to cough.
I just wish I knew how he or anybody else feels about the Jets, because we kind of touched on it a little bit yesterday, the grades that the NFL teams are giving out, where their own players like graded the facility and the training staff and all that. You saw that, right, Peter?
I sure did.
I think Jets didn't grade out very last. Well. Yeah.
Commanders were dead last in everything, every single category.
And the Jets didn't grade out very well.
Which I don't get.
I don't get it either. So I don't know if somebody has like a vendetta against them. Did somebody feel like they got, you know, rooked there and just messed up? But like they had like a C- for like training, like medical staff and stuff. It just doesn't make sense to me because everybody that I talk to, their facilities are top notch. But it's really in the eye of the beholder, right? How many facilities do I go to? You know, I go to the Jets and it looks pretty good to me. I go to the Giants, looks great. Giants graded out very well. Their training staff got an A+. You know, so I don't know how Derek Carr feels about the Jets. I know how I feel about the Jets. I think it'd be a wonderful place for him to go. I think they got talent. I think that they've got, you know, a really good direction to go into. But can I compare it to the Saints? Can I compare it to the Panthers and how their talent is, how their facilities are, how what it's like to live in Carolina, what it's like to live in New Orleans? I don't know. All I can do is look up the taxes and the talent on the roster. Other than that, I don't know what's going to go into his decision.
It's fascinating. I would think that by Tuesday, I mean, Rodgers has to make some kind of move. I guess he doesn't have to do anything, but the Packers also have to know.
When's his weekly with McAfee? It's on Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Is that where you think he's going to announce it?
You would think so, right?
Or maybe some, you know, Fakakta podcast.
Yeah, is there like a...
With all due respect, that's what Pat shows too. It's just a really good one.
Is there like a hookah
but
salesman
there's also
that has
a
podcast?
There's a live aspect to it on YouTube, though.
Well, that's a lot of podcasts, yeah.
To me, I think a podcast, like when they listen to our show on a podcast.
I know, but the times have changed, brother. Podcast now means everything. It means like TV shows. It's everything. It's just like it's when you're doing a show, essentially, that doesn't air on the radio. It's a podcast.
A rare, Peter, I mean rare, positive text from Rick DiPietro about you.
I don't believe it. Don, let's see.
Ready?
Yeah.
It's here.
He tweets to me, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think Peter makes the kicks now. And I write back, why? And he said, I broke down the tape. I think he's learned from his mistakes. Also is now potentially having sex occasionally, which should lighten the legs.
It's a great point. And by the way, I'm lighter also. I was pretty fat in that video.
That's why we gave you a chance that you could put some heft behind it, like Tom Dempsey. You were built like Tom Dempsey then.
I saw the date, by the way. It was February 19. Don, if you do the timeline, that's like just. I've still got one knee down. The ref is still counting. I was not even up to my feet and back to the corner yet. So.
Oh, you mean because of personal issues?
That's right. Yeah.
Well, you took the bet, though. You knew what was going on.
I didn't try to fight it. I'm just Don, are you not allowed to look back years later and say, hey, there's some things that I think might have been a problem? Sure.
There were many reasons why it looked as brutal as it did. Now, hanging up on the wall at our old facility over at
125 West End.
I missed that place.
125 West End. They had a picture of us taking a picture with our arms around each other after the event, and you could see how depressed Peter looked. People assumed it was because how poorly he kicked. That was only half.
No, his life
half.
Was unraveled.
He was a broken, damaged individual.
I was absolutely decrepit. The vape ape, as they knew me in those days. Can you guys believe, though, in retrospect, how wild it is that because of COVID, we left work one day and never set foot in that building again?
And we didn't know. It was like we didn't even say goodbye.
So strange. That was that.
That building where I would occasionally ask Peter a question, turn to him, and he had tears running down his cheeks. Had nothing to do with the show.
Yeah, we didn't have to take the deep dive.
But by the time we had our last day there, March of 20...
Right before I left for spring training.
It was March 4th. Yeah, Michael left earlier because he was down in Tampa. So the big day was the 12th, the Utah Jazz thing, and everything came apart that day. That was on a Wednesday.
Yep.
We still came in Thursday and Friday.
Oh, we
Michael
did?
Was already in Florida.
We came in the day after the NBA still. Yeah.
Yeah, we still did. I was given the option, and at the time I'm like, oh, I might as well come in. I think
I'm
everything's
good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we left on Friday. I remember giving Andrew a hug because I knew it was going to be a while. Like, I didn't think we were going to be coming back in a couple of weeks. I felt like it was going to be a while. I never thought that I would never enter the building again.
I mean, that was also that Wednesday, the day that I hosted Trog's big farewell Bacchanal.
Sure, one of the first
people
spreader.
Talk about Wuhan. I think that's where COVID began.
I mean, by the way, it's insane. That party was in like an underground basement bar.
All kidding aside, a lot of people in that party got dangerously ill.
Dangerously ill. And I remember at the party, people were still doing the like, oh, should we not shake hands? Ha ha ha. Meanwhile, there's finger foods being passed
around. It's
one of the guys was on a ventilator like for a month.
Yeah.
Oh, it was no joke.
Yeah.
But I will take the second to say that there were salespeople in there that couldn't sell Paxlovid at that party. So that's something they need to work on. But other than that, you know, it was the first super spreader event. And, yeah, we're coming up on 3 years, guys. Today's March 3rd.
I very fortunately missed that because I was in spring training.
And I had a Ranger game, so I couldn't go.
Wow.
And I hosted the event. And if you recall, Don, before the event that day, our beloved Tim McCarthy was telling me jokes that he thought I should tell at the party. Do you remember that? Michael, it was like, how do I say this in a loving way about Tim, who changed my life so much? It was like Michael Scott giving Jim recommendations on how to host something. He was saying things that were so inappropriate and I would never say. Not to someone of Trog's stature. He has a different relationship with Trog. I couldn't make those jokes. I would have been killing myself.
Now, yesterday, the debut of Patrick Kane is able. He was not able yesterday, Don.
No, not able to handle Don's bet.
Also, he looked, I mean, again, you're the expert. I'm looking from a different plane. Looked a little rusty to me, Don. A little rusty.
Well, rusty is not the right word. Yeah, he had, but it wasn't that long.
He missed three games.
It wasn't rust. It was just chemistry. I mean, they haven't practiced together. They've never played together. I mean, him and Panarin played together when he was in Chicago years ago, but you drop into a team, no practice time. Rangers played the day before in Philly. He did not go. So that's the first time they were together. That's tough. You show up to a building, you throw the jersey on, you go out there and play. You're playing on the first power play unit. You're playing with Panarin and Trocheck, and he just did a lot of passes incomplete, not knowing where everybody was, miscommunications. That's why it looked like rust. They've got to get through tomorrow. They got a beast tomorrow. 1 o'clock in Boston. I mean, this Bruins team is scary.
Now, are you going to Boston?
No.
But what's the next game you're doing?
Pittsburgh next Sunday. It's a week from Sunday.
So Kane might score before you get back to the mic.
Yeah, probably will. So anyway, then they'll get 4 days off. And they won't play again until Thursday in Montreal. So they'll get some practice time, get acclimated. I got caught up, Peter, because it was a plus 625, so I figure why not? Sometimes
why not?
These guys on just sheer energy and adrenaline find a way to be productive. But that's a good Ottawa team that's red hot right now, and they just didn't play well, and they haven't played well in a little bit. But Tarasenko's starting to get going, but it'll take some time. I mean, you play in a place your entire career, and then you get dropped into a team and expect to play on that day. It's tough. So we'll see if they can get through tomorrow. This Boston team is the best team in sport. I mean, 48-8-5. They got a plus 103 goal differential. The Devils are second at plus 53. Imagine that. They're almost doubling the team that's in second in goal differential. So Saturday is going to be tough. It's going to be on ABC. And then we'll see what they do with those 4 days off. But they'll be fine.
It'll be on ABC, but you'll also hear it right here on 98.7.
Ray Rowe.
Right on TV.
Kenny and Dave, I'll be on
what
the
What time's
post.
The game?
That's a 1 o'clock face-off on ABC. My coverage on 98.7 will begin at 12:30. Our coverage, I should say.
Well, it's yours, too. Now, also a full breakdown of all of the happenings on Game Misconduct, a.k.a. Ice Chips.
Yeah, we even break down the Stephen A. stuff. Really good. I did like 35 minutes today.
Now, by the way, Peter joked with me the day before I went on First Take and said, you know, you're going to be trending. And I made it happen, Peter.
No, you did.
I moved the needle a little bit.
You did. By accident. But...
Not by accident. Well, they actually moved the needle. I gave them the needle to move.
And I have to tell you guys, I think I have to rip someone who you guys love.
Ooh, I want to hear this now.
Is that a tease? Or
No, we've got time. Let's do it.
You want it right now?
Yeah.
All right. Did you guys happen to see this tweet from the iconic Howie Rose?
I did see a Howie Rose tweet, yes.
He reposted the video of Molly saying, "If you guys, do you have the audio over there for what happened to Anthony by any chance? Or no? No pressure.
I could find it.
All right. While you find it, essentially, they asked Michael who would win the next championship in New York. Michael said the Rangers. Molly said that doesn't count. We kind of all agree she was trying to cover up because Stephen doesn't really do hockey.
I don't necessarily
like that.
Agree with that because Stephen A. then made it worse. I'm saying the only thing I know about hockey is the puck, is black and Gary Bettman's my friend.
Here it is. Let's hear it.
Which team in New York do you think wins a championship next?
Rangers.
Oh, Lord.
Come on, Patrick Kane is able.
They don't count. Take
they don't
out.
Count.
They don't count.
Only thing I know about hockey is that the puck is black.
Okay.
And I love Gary Bettman. That's my buddy who I owe a trip to the hockey game.
Right.
It is no disrespect to the Rangers and to Patrick Kane, of course, but just for Stephen.
Football, basketball, baseball.
Yeah.
Yankees or the Mets.
So that's what happened. A lot of hockey fans were upset.
And by the way, Peter, one addendum to that.
Mm-hmm.
I heard today the NHL, red hot.
Well, apparently so, because Stephen A. put out a video that was clearly trying to make amends earlier today. Howie Rose tweeted that video we just played you that audio, and he wrote, "This is an absolute slap in the face to every single hockey fan in the USA. Coming from ESPN, it's no surprise. If I were Gary Bettman, I would be furious and speak out publicly. But of course, as long as the check clears, nothing else matters, especially loyal fans and viewers." Howie, come back to me, man. I hear you that if you're a hockey fan, you go, what the hell? But you don't think that's taking it a bit seriously, guys?
I thought first of all, it was all tongue in cheek. I can't believe anybody took it that seriously. I think hockey fans are a little sensitive because they're the fourth sport, but they're doing quite well. But
it's
it was all done in fun.
It was,
I don't think anybody did it in a nasty way. But if you're a hockey fan, I could see why you take it that way. But let's not take it to a level that, canceling Molly and Stephen A.
Well, nobody's saying that. It's just there was a bad choice of words by Molly.
Yeah, it happened.
You don't count. I mean, that's silly. That's silly for her to say.
Well, but she said it doesn't count after Stephen A. said, "Oh Lord."
True,
but could say, "Oh Lord." He doesn't have nobody's saying they have to like hockey.
But Don, here's the part where Howie needs to come back to me. With all due respect to First Take, which is a juggernaut for ESPN, it's not the nightly news, man. Like, there's a lot of ridiculous content on First Take. It's a fun, argumentative, takey kind of show. That's what it is. This is borderline political. Coming from ESPN, it's no surprise as long as the check clears. I mean, listen, ESPN is a big partner for the NHL, just like the NHL is a big partner for ESPN. No one wants to make it worse than it is.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Lot on the buffet table. Happy birthday to Jason Tatum as the Nets are playing the Celtics tonight. Tatum is just He's 25.
Wow.
Think about what he's accomplished. He's 25 years old. Celtics have a pretty good one.
Oh, yeah, we got the real deal, man. God, when you think about it, it's pretty fortunate, man. This Celtics run, I know it only involves one championship over the last 20 years, but, man, they've been a pretty consistent team from a few years into the Danny Ainge era through getting Brad Stevens and now into the Brad Stevens era. They've been pretty awesome again.
You know, there's a lot of New York fans that complain about their lot in life. You know, Yankee fans, we haven't won since 2009. Met fans, we haven't won since 1986. Knicks fans, we haven't won since 73. We know all the numbers. The Rangers have won Stanley Cup in 62 years. That's incomprehensible. And there was a great portion of that time, Don, where there was no cap, and they had the most money, and they could spend whatever they want, and Glenn Sather was running things, and they still didn't win. 1994, that's it.
Yeah, that's, and even it. That's going on 30 years.
Yeah, this is going on 30
and
years.
You're right.
So 62 years, one Stanley Cup, incomprehensible. Other fan bases complain, that's incomprehensible. It's an original six team that could have spent whatever it wanted, played in the greatest arena in the world with the greatest fan base that fills the arena every single game, one in 62 years.
I mean, how different is that from the Jets?
Well, I mean, we've established that that's a joke.
It's more the idea that people kind of forget that it's basically as bad for the Rangers.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's worse for the Rangers. Because it goes back to the 1940s.
Yeah,
the Jets just goes back to the beginning of the 1960s.
True.
They won a championship in 40. So 1940 was what? How many years ago? 77, right?
Yeah, no, I'm off. You're right, 1940. So that's 60 and 23. 60, so that,
83.
That's 83. One title in 83 years. It makes the Jets look like a dynasty.
Michael, can we take a moment to appreciate Donnie's math from a moment ago?
Sure.
How do we get to 77, Donnie?
I was just doing math in my head, all right? Relax yourself. You're smarter than me. I'm dumb. We've established that. I've admitted it. So you don't have to pick at the scab, all right?
Sorry.
Why do you constantly berate the guy, Peter? I don't get it. Leave him alone.
Well, you're two, Michael. You two.
No, I just say, you know, went and you know, that's the only one that gets me. I never correct you. This guy is an elitist and a snob.
No, it's just getting Don to do that when he does that whole bit that he's an idiot. It's just very funny.
No, I'm not, but I make it work. I got street smarts.
Damn right you do. You made it.
I'm not dumb. I'm smart. Not the way I wanted it.
You are the Fredo of the show.
Wow. Wait a minute. Let's break that down. Obviously, Michael's Michael.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, hold on.
So you're Sonny?
Yeah, you're Sonny, actually. Oh, I'm Fredo?
Yeah, but there's no Fredo.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you rather be Fredo than get riddled by bullets at a toll booth?
No, I nobody wanted to be Fredo, Michael. He betrayed the family just to get shot in the back of the head while saying a prayer.
But
saying a Hail Mary, gets shot in the back of the head.
One bullet. It's like if you missed a free throw. Sonny had 100
bullets.
Sonny
went down the way Sonny should go down. I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, riddled by bullets, he went down. That's the way it is.
Well, listen, right? I spend a good amount of time at that toll booth. I don't even want to joke about that being a possibility.
I love the fact that Michael's wife was Kay, so it was Michael Kay. I always think that. Let's go to John in Forest Hills.
Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Couple questions. Don, last night's game, I thought the lack of defensemen really was the reason why that they lost last night. I thought guys were just standing around the net, and that's why, had such a good game.
For people that don't know, they had to play again with five defensemen. So you're mixing and matching, playing with different people. And that's a good Ottawa team. I mean, they're hot. I mean, they've got really star players, Giroux, Tkachuk. Watson's a really good player. Stützle, who maybe, you know, is probably better than Lafreniere in the same draft. I mean, they're really loaded.
They're up 3-2, Don.
They're red hot, 3-2. But, you know, again, they didn't get great goaltending. Halak was not great. They give up two goals in 51 seconds. Back in the second period, they gave up two goals in 21 seconds.
Yep.
But to the caller's point, you know, you play with five defensemen against a really good offensive team.
They looked exhausted.
And that's why tomorrow's going to be scary because you're going up against a monster. And I don't know, maybe Ryan Lingren could play. I didn't look to see if he made the trip. Keandre Miller's not going to be available because of the suspension. That'll be his last game. But you're right. They had a 1-0 lead. They had a 3-2 lead in the third period. But I did think it caught up with them just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they're gambling here. They've been playing shorthanded, trying to make the Kane deal and then the suspension.
Yeah.
And then they lose Mott, you know, the elbow to the head. So there's a lot of things that they had going against them.
Yeah, and we'll see what they can do if they end up having to play shorthanded a forward. If Mott can't go, he's listed as day-to-day after taking that hit from Watson, which didn't get any discipline from the National Hockey League. But,
by the way, Dave on the radio broadcast called Mott a knucklehead.
Not Mott, Watson.
Watson, that's it. Yeah, not Watt. Not Mott, sorry.
But don't look now. Pittsburgh's 8 points back of the Rangers with a game in hand, and the Rangers play the Penguins like 3 times in 8 days.
All right, so if they
week.
Fall behind the Penguins, then who would they play? Do they avoid the Devils?
Well, then
in?
They fall to the wild card, which means they might have to play, depending on where they – if they finish the wild card, they would play whoever wins the Metropolitan Division, which right now is up for grabs because the Devils are only a point back of Carolina. So it's not – so play it again. We need to appreciate it.
Knucklehead.
That's why Dave is great. Honestly. I mean, really. Do you want it broken down, or do you want an honest assessment of what he feels about the player?
I want both.
I think
he
gives
you
got
you
it.
That. He gives
but,
you that.
Yeah. But didn't you get that?
Yeah.
I wonder if Dave agreed with the hit. No. I wonder how Dave feels about the player that made the hit. There you go.
Wait a second. Give me a 20 here. If that hit was delivered by Mott, would he have said knucklehead?
Well, no, because he, you know, works for the Rangers. You got to be careful, Michael. You could be more critical of the other team than you can of the Yankees during your broadcast. But he definitely is critical of the Rangers. If they make a mistake, if there's a bad goal given up by Shesterkin, he'll say it. But knucklehead is reserved for the other team, and I think that's fair. Peter, is that fair?
Is it fair? It's fair because he's the Rangers guy, yeah.
And well, that's what I'm saying. If it's a national broadcast, that it would be biased and you throw it out.
But locally, who cares? Yeah,
but
sure.
Locally.
But no. But I will say this. On certain occasions, you maybe should be willing to call one of your own a knucklehead also if they behave in a knuckleheadish fashion. Maybe
I know I get
different.
In trouble because I do that. I'm not in trouble, but I hear it.
You say you just got to do a better job or whatever, try to be a little bit more fair. But with the other team, you want to call them a knucklehead, you can play to a room.
I just think knucklehead is a very underused word. It should be used more. Let's go to Ray in the Bronx. Ray.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I just want to preface what I'm going to say by saying that I think all of you guys are amazing individually, very talented. Don, you are an intellect and an everyday guy, and I mean that in the sincerest way. So,
wow,
I mean,
I
you're
agree.
Really
no, I appreciate that. I know where you're coming from. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. And I just want to touch base on how ungrateful Peter is. Yesterday, I was trying to call in. It didn't happen. But for Michael to go on a national stage and bring your name up in any capacity.
Thank you, Ray.
And then for him to come back and be ridiculed I can't understand it. So it's not good enough he brings your name up. You want to control the context in which he brings it up.
Wow, beautiful.
And secondly,
said, Ray.
Let me just finish. I think everyone knows when Michael said that Molly's made your life. It was a figure of speech, Peter. I don't think anyone with half of a brain took that literally. So I don't know why you did as well. And,
No. I was with you. I was with you, but that's out of line. Michael could have just said, hey, I hear you're a big fan of Peter. That's all he had to say.
Yes, Peter. No, Don, I understand that and respect that.
Listen, I don't want to do a show where all I do is bow at the altar of
Michael
Caine, right?
Okay?
We're going to make some fun. We're going to poke some fun. That's what we're going to do. We're going to poke fun. That's what we should name the show.
Listen, let me respond, please.
Yes, please.
I will acknowledge that by responding the way I did, I sort of looked past the fact that it was nice that Michael gave me a shout-out on a big platform like First Take. I appreciate that. Now, let me remind you, Don and I have hosted First Take before, and I've done many national things for ESPN, and everyone there knows who I am. I'm not some random jabroni.
Right.
So, but I do appreciate it. But that said, there's a term we use in the wrestling business called putting someone over, when you make someone look good. Michael mentioned me, which I appreciate. He gave me the rub, so to speak, but he didn't put me over. by saying you made his life, he was subtly burying me. Don, you see what I'm saying?
He did this on his terms.
All he had to do was say, Molly, I hear you're such a fan of Peter Rosenberg. What, even if he made fun of me, what's up with that? Why?
Yeah.
But when he says you made his life, it makes me sound like a local jabroni loser.
And that's
not
what happened.
It had nothing to do with local or national. It had to do that Molly is a beautiful woman, and you know, you're an average-looking guy, and she's a big fan of yours, so it made your life. That's all I meant.
Fredo?
It didn't make his life. He was almost unmoved by it.
Thank you.
I was the one that was impressed. It became a drop because of me. I was shocked. I was impressed.
Anthony, could I have some reflective music, please?
I wonder what it'll go with. Oh, the piano, sure.
In this instance, I'm Ja Morant. I'm not leaving my friends who are ne'er-do-wells behind. I go on a national platform. I talk about them. I didn't even have to mention them. Didn't have to mention them. And as Ray said, now you're dictating how I mention you. Okay, from now on, if they sign me to do 100 first takes, I'll never utter your names again.
All right, here we go.
Okay? Never. If that was too bad, that I made you look bad, never again. I will never make that mistake again.
Anthony, can I have the reflective music, please? Michael, I hear what you're saying. And in the story, if you were Ja Morant, I was the kid he was playing basketball with, and you came out holding your waistband. And or maybe I was the security guard in the parking lot at the mall who you pushed in the head. That's the only Ja Morant comparison I see.
Anthony, can I have a new set of music, please?
A new set?
The same music.
The same again.
The
there you go.
You're Ja Morant's mom in the story, okay?
Wait, I don't understand. I'm calling.
She needed help, so she called me. You know, you're picking a fight with Bill Maher on social media. So you're looking to grab that swinging star, and I am giving you that opportunity. I bring you up on first day, one of the highest rated shows on ESPN. But you're an ingrate, just as Ray said. Never again. Never.
Wait a minute.
Again.
Just quick. I don't need any music. We can do this dry.
Anthony, I'd like Don to have the music.
I'd rather not.
Come on. How would it look if you didn't mention us?
Like the that I would look like the person that you guys portray me to be.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Let's go to Andrew in Mount Holly. Andrew.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great. You?
I'm doing well. Just wanted to say, first and foremost, I am a massive fan of all of you guys.
Thank you, Michael.
My fiance's family is obsessed with you. Massive Yankee fans. Don, during Ranger games on the radio, you are by far, you're incredible.
I have
you guys on blast consistently.
Good man.
Peter, big WWE fan as well.
Wow.
So love how you always bring that up.
What a guy.
But I want to go back to talk about the Rangers, if you guys don't mind.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I really just think that Lindgren is our unsung hero at the end of the day. Every time he's out, we look slow, flat. When he's in the lineup, we're hitting, we're finishing the checks. And when playoff time comes, and as long as we're fully healthy, I mean, I think we're the only ones realistically that can match up with Boston.
You're probably right, and you're right about Lindgren. That's the top pairing, guys, with Fox. And Fox can worry about scoring, and Lindgren can worry about being physical. But that physicality comes with a toll. And you saw in the playoffs last year, Michael, he was one of the walking wounded by the time that series ended with Tampa. So, you know, he's hurt now. Hopefully he'll get a chance to play tomorrow. If not, we'll see him in Montreal. But when this team is complete, I think they're among the best in the league. But it's been a while since they've been complete. So we'll see if they can get to 12-6 and get Lindgren back, get Keandre Miller back from the suspension, and let's go. I would not judge the Rangers tomorrow on what they can do against Boston if they met them in the conference final. Because the Rangers shorthanded, it's not going to be great tomorrow, but we'll see if they can fight through it.
James in Queens. James.
What's up, guys? Love your show.
Nice.
You're not going to like this take.
I love it.
But if the Jets win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, yes, you win a championship, but it's not a legitimate win. And I'll give you 2 points why before you jump on me. One, not a hometown guy. Eli Manning's a hometown guy. Tom Brady is a hometown guy. Roethlisberger, Bill Sims. I mean, look, that's number one. They couldn't do it with the coaches and quarterbacks they've had since Joe Namath. But now you go out and you try to get one of the best quarterbacks in the league for two seasons to hopefully win a championship. And if you do and he leaves, you're the same team again.
Well, let me ask you a question. Did the Heat not win a championship with LeBron? Was that – those aren't legitimate?
I mean, I'm not really a LeBron fan, so I mean – I don't think it's a legitimate win for them either. I mean, anywhere LeBron went.
All right, so the Yankees,
the best team in the league.
The Yankees, obviously, when they acquired team,
I think this is apples and oranges, though. I think this is apples and oranges.
But if you get a Super Bowl by hiring a genie to cast a spell on the other team, it counts.
Well,
hiring Aaron Rodgers to possibly win a Super Bowl doesn't change the coaching and the regime over there that has not been good since. Well, I guess 2016 was the last playoff run.
You can't say that Joe Douglas hasn't been good.
So what happens if Aaron Rodgers doesn't win a Super Bowl and we hire him? What happens? Well, I'm a Giants fan, but what happens if the Jets hire him and he doesn't win a Super Bowl? What then?
Then you move on and you try to find another quarterback. I mean, if they win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, it's a Super Bowl. You have to put that trophy in your case.
I don't understand the logic because – obviously, I understand. I guess I understand to the point of it feels like you're buying the championship because you went out and got Aaron Rodgers in this way. But no, you still had to persuade him to come here if he came here. And one of the reasons he'd come here is because they have a very talented roster with a chance to win. Doesn't Joe Douglas get credit for that? Believe me.
So if the Mets win a championship with Verlander and Scherzer, it doesn't count?
Right, exactly. So, yeah, I guess he deems it apples and oranges because
it's almost
narrative.
The same. No, but this is almost the same what the Mets are doing. Two veteran guys toward the end of their career, they brought them in as hired guns to win a championship. If they win a World Series, that counts just as much as the one in 86.
But I guess, Michael, he'd have more of a leg to stand on if it was just purely, hey, we're paying him $60 million to come here, and he comes here. He would come to the Jets because how attractive it would be to play for the Jets. Wouldn't Joe Douglas be able to take credit for building a roster that Aaron Rodgers wanted to come and play with? Because if the Jets were not good, would they be in the conversation for Aaron Rodgers?
So in his way of thinking, Don, the Broncos' last title with Peyton Manning didn't count. Right? Didn't count.
Well, he didn't contribute much to it. But, yeah, I guess that would be the logic. That any free agent
and
that
so
you
the
get,
Tampa Bay championship with Tom Brady doesn't count.
He would. I guess it would have to not count based on his standard.
Silly thoughts.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.